Welcome to Securing America with me, Frank Gaffney, the program that's a kind of owner's manual for protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and his kingdom. We have few people, in my estimation, who have dedicated themselves with greater devotion and greater effect to the task of protecting our country, particularly against one vector that has proven to be absolutely debilitating, and that is the attack that is mounted upon us, most especially by the Chinese Communist Party, but frankly by others as well, in a domain known as economic warfare. And the person of whom I'm speaking is going to be our guest for this full hour, I'm very pleased to say. His name is Kevin Freeman. He is these days the host of Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman on Blaze TV and other platforms. You can follow it at economicwarroom.com. He is also an author of considerable accomplishment, two previous best-selling books, Secret Weapon and Game Plan, and a brand new one that we're going to be discussing at length today, According to Plan. He is also the purveyor through his Economic War Room platform of terrific written products called Battle Plans that are extraordinarily helpful in both giving people the essence of his programs and actions that they can take. He's a very action-oriented guy. And evidence of that is to be found, among other places, in an institute that he has recently stood up with the help of Liberty University called the National Security Investment Consultants Institute, a vehicle for training in fund managers and financial advisors and the like in how to invest patriotically instead of to the detriment of our country. I could go on, but that's enough for starters. Otherwise, we won't get to our guest, despite the fact we have a full hour with him. But let's talk now with Kevin Freeman. Welcome, Kevin. It's so good to have you. Welcome back.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be with you.
And congratulations on the new book, According to Plan. I'm anxious to get your readout on both how this is being received as well as what it's saying. Tell us a bit about the book first, and then we'll talk about its importance to our present dilemma.
Yeah, the book, Frank, came out on Amazon available, and it's also available at accordingtoplanbook.com. And it's designed to be somewhat of a pamphlet. It's easy read. Teenage daughter said, hey, I got through chapter after chapter. It wasn't hard to read. It's designed to explain really how the country that we love so much, the United States of America, could be at such great peril. And it seems like it, well, maybe it's incompetence. Well, maybe it's just, you know, we've made a few mistakes here. No, this book weaves it together. I had great researchers who helped me write it. And it explains that everything we're seeing today that is taking America down is according to plan, whether the plan is the Chinese Communist Party or it's the globalists or it's domestic enemies. But it is all planned. It is perpetrated. And that's why all these strange things keep happening. They're not happenstance. They are according to plan to take America down.
You know, in his infamous speech in front of Independence Hall last week, Kevin, President Biden actually admitted that things are not normal in our country. He didn't cop to the contribution that he has been making personally and his administration to the abnormalities. But I think it's helpful to give us a sense of a plan that communists have had for our country for quite some time. You refer in the book to the naked communist as a kind of playbook for the Chinese and other communist parties. Tell us about what it tells us about the plan.
Yeah, well, the naked communist is a book that was written in the 1950s by someone I knew, someone I spent a good amount of time with, a guy named W. Cleon Skousen. And he wrote, the Communist Party USA has intention of capturing one or both of the political parties in America, degrading art so that you look at art and you can't see what it, understand what it is. It's ugly, promoting a homosexual gay agenda. I mean, you, the list goes on, and you stop and you say, wow, every one of those goals is in some way been implemented. How could that happen? Well, it happened because they planned it out and then they worked their plan. It, like all good time management people would tell you to do, write down your goals and work them. And they've done that. And in fact, this was published in the Congressional Record by a Florida congressman, put it in 1963, you know, a little after I was born. But as you read through the list, you see that's what happened in the 60s. This is what happened in the 70s. This is what happened in the 80s. And now they're ready to declare it finished. And you mentioned President Biden in that infamous speech before Independence Hall. That was planned also, the color, the effect, the lighting, the way that he was shaking his fists. Every one of those things was carefully chosen and orchestrated by the White House Media Department. They always do, even the military in the background. And it's a statement to the American people, we're in charge, not the Constitution. It really was shocking.
You know, Kevin, we did a webinar recently. You've participated in a number of them as a member of our committee on the present danger, China. And let me also say you are a senior fellow of our Center for Security Policy, for which I'm very grateful. But the committee did a program about the formula for fratricide is the way we called it, the Biden othering of MAGA. Well, it turns out, as you look at that speech, of course, it's not just people who are supportive of making America great again, or for that matter, even Donald Trump. He was by name pointing out people who, you know, favor life over abortion, who favor, you know, our Constitution over, you know, the efforts to destroy it and the freedoms that it guarantees. People who are, you know, patriotic Americans and who express their patriotism by, among other things, using their freedom to speak out when they think something might have happened to our elections. They're not election deniers. They're people who have the right to contest what seem to be, frankly, stolen elections. So he's really described, it seems, a majority of our country. And I would just ask you, the plan, I think, is brought to us by people who know that only a minority would embrace the plan, would want to actually see it come to pass. How do communists get from, you know, the idea where a handful of Bolsheviks are going to take over Russia to the point where they actually do? I mean, I guess this comes to the question of how do they get the plan accomplished?
The same way Adolf Hitler did with the National Socialism, the same way that Mao did in China, the same way that that Castro did in Cuba. It's always the same formula. It's always othering. It's always, well, this group here. And, you know, there's that famous phrase, well, the first they came for, and then they came for, and then they came for, and I didn't speak up for any of them, and then they came for me. It's divide and conquer.
And there was and no one question. There to speak up for me.
That's right.
Yeah. This is really the crux of the othering piece. And Kevin, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to drill down a bit more on it and how it is out of the playbook. And the point is, it's not necessarily unique to Marxists. They happen to do it to a fairly well, but other totalitarians have as well. And we're certainly seeing it being done inside the United States at this moment. Kevin Freeman is our guest, the author of According to Plan. We're going to talk more about the book and what the plan is and what it means for you right after this. This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Biden administration's wrecking operation with respect to U.S. energy security has reduced our strategic petroleum reserve to its lowest level in almost 40 years. Such sales of oil meant for emergency use only, including some to our mortal enemy, the Chinese Communist Party, has significantly increased our vulnerability in case of, for example, a war. Worse yet, at the same time, the nation most likely to precipitate such a conflict, namely Communist China, has been systematically hoarding oil, natural gas, and coal, as well as food, rare earth minerals, fertilizers, and other materials. The CCP appears to be putting its nation on a war footing, and Biden's irresponsible conduct with respect to our strategic reserve and virtually every other aspect of energy policy appears to be a betrayal of America's national security that can only conduce to a Chinese victory. This is Frank Gaffney. Welcome back. We're discussing a very important contribution to the public policy debate of our times, one that is specifically relevant to the elections that we pray will be taking place in the next few weeks leading up to Election Day on November 8th. The author of the book, Kevin Freeman, is in the house with us virtually from the Economic War Room in the Dallas, Texas area. And the book is entitled According to Plan, and we've been teasing out some of the premises of it. And Kevin, you mentioned a term that I want to make sure that we define with a little bit more precision. Othering, identifying people as the other, and what can flow from such a practice in the hands of totalitarians. Give us a little bit more detail on what that entails and how it works.
Well, let me just give you a personal example from my family history, and one that really has impacted me. It's something my father taught me when I was growing up and something that we've learned about for a long time. And that is, my ancestors on my father's side came from the Tennessee and Georgia, North Carolina, all in the Cherokee Nation. And they were othered by Andrew Jackson, who came in and essentially said, you've got to leave this land and you will be moved to westward, what turned out to be Oklahoma, which is where I was born. And you're not as human as the rest of us. You don't think the right way. Our goal, they said, was to kill the Indian and save the man. And they carried that out. What we're seeing right now is to the Cherokee, this was our land, we owned it, we settled it first, and you came in and kicked us off and made us move. On a trail of tears, what we're seeing President Biden do is othering of the MAGA Republicans, he calls them, the 74 million who voted for Donald Trump. And it's not just Biden. The New York governor basically said, if you don't support me, get on a bus and go to Florida. Get out of my state. It is something that's repeated. Even Biden said at one point when he was running, he said, you ain't black if you're not voting for me. Or he said a paraphrase of something that I paraphrased. But the bottom line is if you don't support their agenda, then you're the other and you have to either leave or get deprogrammed, reprogrammed, or whatever. Now, he did it this way. He said, if you've got an AR-15, we've got an F-15. Well, that's quite the threat. A threat violating the Posse Comitatus Act. It's a threat of using military on American citizens just because they disagree with him. You know what? Andrew Jackson.
And again, this was very much, I think, the leitmotif of having those two Marines.
No question.
In that video. Kevin, when you talk about the othering, our colleague Dee Dee Laugesen did a terrific presentation in the course of this webinar, and people can get it, by the way, at presentdangerchina.org. I really commend it to you. And she described the process that starts with, you know, identifying some group or individuals as the other, in your case, the Cherokee Nation. It could be Jews. It could be MAGA Republicans. It could be anybody
vaccine avoiders.
People who are vaccine deniers or election deniers or anything else. Once you've identified them as the other, then you begin essentially dehumanizing them. And once you've dehumanized them to a point that you can get away with essentially depriving them of their rights, you can then move inexorably, at least in the case of most of these totalitarians, to actually killing them. So this is no drill. This is a very serious threat, and it's taking place inside our own country.
No doubt.
I personally believe, and I think you do too, that the vast majority of Americans don't want any part of it. But a part of the othering, and we also had a webinar the other day in which we talked about mass formation psychosis with Dr. Robert Malone. And he talked about how you can get, even a minority can get a large number of other people to simply acquiesce, to not want to be seen as siding with the other. And just tease this out for us, Kevin, because I think most of us listening to this will say this can't possibly happen into the United States of America. And yet it has, and it can. No?
It's happened over and over throughout human history. It's happened in United States history, whether it's othering and you force people out of their homes and off their land across a trail of tears. Now it's an ideological trail of tears, but it happened with the Japanese during World War II. It's happened repeatedly. And, you know, yet the Biden administration would absolutely refuse to allow you to other people for anything except for these ideological grounds. It doesn't matter who you are, what you believe, what you're trying to do, as long as you line up with our ideology. And that's how Marxism operates. That's how Castro and everybody else. Bottom line is you separate the groups. You could do this in any kindergarten, by the way. You can do it by eye color. And there have been psychologists who've tested it. And the majority will go along. You could walk into a kindergarten today and you could start saying those with blue eyes are smarter than brown eyes, or brown eyes are smarter than blue eyes. And you can separate them and you will see Nazi-like behavior emerging in that kindergarten. They've done it with college students. It is a human nature thing, and they're using psychological tricks in order to achieve this objective, and that is to put them in power. That's the thesis of According to Plan. The plan is to displace the current power structure and put this group permanently in power, the Biden far left progressives.
Let me ask you a question, Kevin, because the question I think a lot of us wrestle with is who's in charge? You mentioned Biden, and we all think, because we're encouraged to think, that he is the president of the United States, and therefore he must be having some say in all of this. If it's the plan, is it his personal plan? Is it a plan that he is actually the driving force behind, in your estimation? Are there others who are perpetrating it? And, you know, is it coming, for that matter, from outside of our country, not just internal to it?
Well, I tell you that a lot of influences on President Biden. I don't know whether he's a sock puppet or if he is still mentally competent in there. I can't answer that. Susan Rice is certainly involved in the administration. She would represent the Obama team, and Obama has a massive influence. But not just Obama. George Soros has a massive influence. The World Economic Forum has a massive influence. And of course, the Chinese Communist Party, as we see from the Hunter Biden laptop, has a massive influence into the Biden crime syndicate, or whatever you tend to want to call it. Regardless of who it is, they all have one obstacle, and they're all joined at the hip at this moment to take down the United States of America. You ask who's in charge? Well, according to the Constitution, we the people are in charge. We're the rulers, and they're attempting a color revolution to replace us with the Joe Biden and all of those crowds. And they'll fight after they've destroyed the United States. They'll fight to see who's in charge. But right now, Biden is the one that is acting in that role.
Or at least nominally presiding over it, whoever else is pulling the strings. And Kevin, just very quickly, define that term, because it's so important here, and we're going to talk more about it on the other side of the next short break. color revolution. What do you mean by that? And is it part of the plan?
Well, color revolution historically has been where you walk in and there's a government in power and you identify means of capturing the media and fomenting mobs and do all sorts of things so that you could displace the existing power structure. And then you associate a color with it. And this is something that, you know, I'm ashamed to say that we've done to our detriment in other countries at times. Other countries have used it. We've seen it happen in Ukraine. We saw it happen in Egypt and other locations. But what I think is happening here is a color revolution by the person who's not, he's not really in power. He's in office. His name is Joe Biden. He's in the office of the presidency, but the power rests in the Constitution.
Hold that thought. We're going to come right back with more with Kevin Freeman, the author of According to Plan, right after this.
Night after night in cities across the country, black garbed assailants clash with police in the streets, smash windows, and throw Molotov cocktails in an effort to destroy police stations, federal courthouses, and local businesses, all in the name of anti-fascism. Most Americans are now, sadly, all too aware of the movement known as Antifa. But where did they come from? What do they want? And how do we stop their campaign of violent mayhem? The Center for Security Policy Press is proud to present Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat. This new book looks at the history, ideology, organization, finances, and strategy of Antifa and provides an in-depth analysis for law enforcement officers, policymakers, and the general public. From street fighting tactics of the Black Bloc to fundraising by prominent left-wing foundations, Unmasking Antifa is the go-to guide to understand this elusive and dangerous threat. Get your copy of Unmasking Antifa, Five Perspectives on a Growing Threat at Amazon.com.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Kevin Freeman. He is a man of many parts. We won't get into all of the parts probably today, but we're going to try to tap as many of the things that he's working on as we can, because all of them are fascinating. And more to the point, all of them can make a difference in your future, your security, and well, the country that we bequeath to our children and grandchildren. Kevin is the host of a terrific television program of his own called Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. You can find it on Blaze TV and other platforms. Kevin, this Orange Revolution business is something that we've been hearing about now for some time. Going back to 2020, there was concern that what was going on in some 200 cities across our country, the burning, the looting, the murder in some cases, were all part of an effort to, well, overthrow the government of the United States. And I think it's fair to say that it had something to do with the election of 2020. You've done a lot of study of that election cycle, and you have been, I know, very concerned about the freeness and fairness of our elections going forward as a result. Talk a little bit about how Black Lives Matter and Antifa and those riots of 2020 played into a kind of color revolutionary operation and what that might mean for today. Joe Biden says there's no space for political violence, and yet he seems to have tolerated it considerably back then.
Yeah, well, several reasons. Number one, the blatant hypocrisy associated with Black Lives Matter. I mean, the money was stolen by Marxists and used to buy houses, big mansions. The other hypocrisy is you have to stay in your house and you have to wear a mask and you can't go out and intermingle. And yet it's okay if you're going out to riot. The other, you know, people that walk through the Capitol, and I have no patience with those who broke into the Capitol. Don't get me wrong. I completely wrong. Shouldn't interrupt Congress. Shouldn't do any of those things. Those are all wrong things. But then you see grandma and grandpa carrying a flag walking through Statuary Hall and they're thrown in jail in the dark dank cell, not to be released or given, you know, a speedy trial or any of that. And yet,
they may actually have been ushered into the Capitol by the police at some of those doors.
They may have. And so they walk, you know, walking through that. Well, they're the worst criminals. But those that actually looted stores, burned buildings and so forth, you know, well, they were just, it's understandable. They were just exercising their free rights. The idea that you can do what's wrong and get away with it, but people who basically do what's right get in trouble, that's how you do a color revolution, because you cause people to lose confidence in their government.
Right. That's so important. You know,
people rethink and they say, well, but Biden won. He's in power. And again, Joe Biden is in office. He's not in power. The power in the Constitution rests with we the people. There are three branches of government. He is in office. He's not in power. So when he's standing, shaking his fists with the red light on him and the military standing behind him at Independence Hall, he's spreading a message that we're in charge now. We're taking over the Constitution. And then he just denies. And he said it flat out. I mean, he walked it back the next day, sort of. But he said, those Republicans who support MAGA and voted for Donald Trump. Well, that's 74 million Americans that voted for Donald Trump. He basically othered all of them and just said they don't belong in the future. The future belongs to us. That is an attempted color revolution right before our very eyes.
Yeah. Kevin, this is troubling on so many different levels, but let me ask you about a part of this that I know is of deep mutual concern to us, and that is the benefit, if not the active involvement, certainly the benefit that the Chinese Communist Party obtains from this kind of fracturing of our society. You've studied them closely. They are the current manifestation of the communists in the world today. And they are very aggressively seeking to dominate our country, if not actually to destroy it. Talk a little bit about the plan as they see it and the role that the Chinese communists seem to be playing in trying to bring it about here.
Well, there's a couple of things. First off, let's go back to the KGB in the Soviet Union with Vladimir Putin and one of his buddies, who's his favorite historian. He basically predicted that within a few decades, the United States would break apart into five separate nations. It was even written up in the Wall Street Journal. I thought, this is crazy. The Soviet Union collapsed. We're too together. There's no way that they could divide us in five nations. It's divide and conquer. And yet we're seeing that happen. So we see mass regional differences between the American electorate. The Chinese wrote their game plan, their according to plan, in a book titled Unrestricted Warfare. It was published in 1999 by two senior colonels of the People's Liberation Army. They again talked about ways to tear down and break up the United States. Why? Because both the Soviet Union and the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, and by the way, the globalists, they all perceive that the United States, under the Constitution, with individual liberty, is the one thing standing in their way of global dominance. Now, the Soviet Union fell. Russia is a lot weaker than it was. But the Chinese Communist Party is still powerful, and they're perpetrating their according to plan, titled Unrestricted Warfare, now, as the World Economic Forum is perpetrating their according to plan. And it involves all sorts of things like shutting down the economy from COVID, you know, something that may have been released from a Chinese lab. It involves taking out gasoline-powered cars and replacing them with electric cars, which depend on China for the lithium, the rare earth minerals, the batteries, and then powering it with a solar grid that only the Chinese are building. It involves to the point of where you can't afford to buy food because fertilizer comes from fossil fuels and it's far too expensive. And so the European Union and other places are banning the use of certain fertilizers, which is leading to a food crisis. All of these things hit what the World Economic Forum described as you'll own nothing and like it by 2030. You'll eat more bugs and less meat. And they listed a series of things that would happen.
And these will
fit
be happy.
Perfectly. Yes, yeah. We'll be happy about it. But I'm telling you, I'm not going to be happy about it. And most Americans aren't going to be happy about it. That's why they have to have this plan to marginalize and others, anyone. So you're a climate denier.
Silence.
Well, then you're another. Yes, they've got to silence us.
And silence may be just the precursor to the ultimate distribution, dispensing with us, let me say, with extreme prejudices, I think the term for it. Kevin, you mentioned something that we collaborated on, an assessment of the provenance of this virus, the so-called SARS-CoV-2 virus that spawned the pandemic of COVID-19. Team B3 is the name of the group that put it together, and the book that emerged from it all was entitled "The CCP is at War with America," which, as I'm fond of pointing out, you can get for free as a downloadable PDF at ccpatwar.com. But Kevin, you talked a moment ago about unrestricted warfare being one of the prisms through which we can look at what the Chinese Communist Party has been up to and the damage that it has been doing to our country, predominantly of the non-kinetic kind. But on that list, as you've pointed out, is biological warfare as one of the things that could be done to undermine America. And in fact, we've got in our book a quote from a former, at the time, defense minister of China saying that was the plan to use biological warfare to depopulate the United States and colonize it. Talk a little bit about that and the insights from the Team B report about what they're doing and how successful it's been.
Yeah, well, the whole idea of depopulating the United States is a dream for so many people, including certain elements in the Chinese Communist Party, including the World Economic Forum, who thinks that we have far too many people, including a lot of radical Americans. The idea of unrestricted warfare means exactly that. There are no restrictions on warfare. And biological warfare is an ideal form of warfare because it's not easy to attribute the source of it. You can say, well, it emerged from bats in a wet market, and so somebody ate a bat and passed the virus on. You could inject it in the population and do sort of things like, gosh, if I were releasing one, I would say in Wuhan, we're going to lock you down. You cannot go to Beijing from Wuhan, but you can travel to San Francisco. And by the way, if you get to San Francisco, we'll have Nancy Pelosi lead a whole bunch of people out into a crowd and say, hey, let's embrace any Chinese person we can just to show them we're not afraid. The same Nancy Pelosi demanding lockdowns shortly thereafter. This book that you described, the CCP is at war with America. And of course, given the opportunity, if they didn't release that on purpose, they wish they had. I guarantee it because it fits unrestricted warfare.
And what we know is that they got a proof of concept out of it and have demonstrated that you can actually disseminate a disease that may not be as communicable as some by having individuals in the population spreading it to others. So all of this is extremely alarming. And the other thing you mentioned that this is a very attractive option for is it leaves the infrastructure intact. And if you are intent on colonizing a country like ours, it'd be nice to inherit all of the amazing infrastructure that we've put into place. Kevin Freeman, we have to take another short break. We'll be right back with more, and we're going to talk with Kevin about our financing of all of this mischief from China and more right after this. We'll be right back. This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The Biden administration's wrecking operation with respect to U.S. energy security has reduced our strategic petroleum reserve to its lowest level in almost 40 years. Such sales of oil meant for emergency use only, including some to our mortal enemy, the Chinese Communist Party, has significantly increased our vulnerability in case of, for example, a war. Worse yet, at the same time, the nation most likely to precipitate such a conflict, namely Communist China, has been systematically hoarding oil, natural gas, and coal, as well as food, rare earth minerals, fertilizers, and other materials. The CCP appears to be putting its nation on a war footing, and Biden's irresponsible conduct with respect to our strategic reserve and virtually every other aspect of energy policy appears to be a betrayal of America's national security that can only conduce to a Chinese victory. This is Frank Affney. Welcome back to this very special edition of Securing America. We are featuring for the entire hour our friend and colleague Kevin Freeman, a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy, an author, a very accomplished television personality in his own right, as the host of Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman. We're visiting about his brand new book, According to Plan, which you can get now at Amazon. I strongly encourage you to do so. Kevin, we've been talking about the various ways in which enemies, domestic and foreign, are seeking, according to plan, to take down our country. One of the most insidious aspects of the plan, it seems to me, particularly that of the Chinese Communist Party, has to be our underwriting of their execution of the plan. There was the famous line of Lenin about the capitalists will sell us the rope with which we will hang them. The fillip with the Chinese Communist Party is Wall Street will give us the money with which we will buy the rope with which we will hang them. And I'd like you to just talk about this. You're a chartered financial analyst by training. You've been working in the space with legendary figures like Sir John Templeton. You know your way around the markets. How on earth is it that masters of the universe on Wall Street have become partners of the Chinese Communist Party in underwriting, financing, and otherwise enabling the various forms of warfare that our enemy's been waging against us and are seemingly intent on continuing to do it? And with whose money?
Well, it's our money. It's the money of the American people. And how they've done it is they've essentially bought off Wall Street. They've given them the opportunity, you'll make money. It was 20 years ago that they bought off American industry. They said, move your plants here and we'll give you inexpensive labor. And then they stole the technology. And you see a lot of manufacturing lost from America to China. And President Trump caught on to this and he said, we're not going to let that happen anymore. What they've done with Wall Street is essentially said the best investment opportunities in the world are in China, and we're going to give you these great returns, and you're going to get in on the ground floor. I mean, Frank, we were together when Alibaba first came out, and yet they rigged the system in such a way that Wall Street got rich, the Chinese got rich, and the American people bought a pig in a poke. And that's part of the reason in the book.
Literally. Kevin, yes. Talk a little bit about that pig in a poke, because they were led to believe, I think, that they were going to get shares in this incredibly impressive, booming corporation. Wasn't necessarily so, right?
Well, number one, they didn't get actual shares in many cases. Like in Alibaba, they got a variable interest entity out of the Cayman Islands that doesn't really have any control of Alibaba whatsoever. Even Jack Ma doesn't really have any control over Alibaba, the founder. He can disappear for months at a time. Every corporation in China serves the Chinese Communist Party. Some of them, much smaller ones that you don't hear about, didn't make the newspapers, but we've had friends who've lost millions of dollars because they invested in what they thought was a real Chinese company. They flew out visited it. And yet what it was a Patinkin village. It was a company with a brand name on it and factory workers inside that they would change the name and roll out a different story the next group of visitors that came. They were complete frauds. Some of them were accounting frauds like Luck and Coffee. All of it was to take American money, giving them the promise of huge returns. And in the end, it was a giant Ponzi scheme where some people got their money out, like those on Wall Street. And that's why I call them pigs. They're benefiting themselves at our own detriment. And a lot of people on Wall Street took advantage of this. Some are waking up and realizing this isn't right. We've got to stop funding the Chinese Communist Party.
But not enough. And this is where you come in, Kevin Freeman. You have been in your own right, of course, with your television program, Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman, your battle plans at economicwarroom.com, but also now with this new organization. Well, it's not entirely new, but it's got a new partnership that's given it a very important new platform from which to do the program. Talk about the National Security Investment Consultants Institute and what you're trying to do to counteract the lack of understanding and clarity and the risks associated with doing business financially with China.
Sure. Well, the very first class that we held, and Frank, you were a part of that, was in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, at Oklahoma Wesleyan University. It was our pilot class. And while we met there, Alibaba was announced as an IPO and went public that day. It was the hottest thing on Wall Street. Everybody thought it was brought, you know, oh, it's the Amazon of China and we're going to all get rich. And they bought into it. What they were buying was a variable interest entity that wasn't necessarily anything that they were promising it to be. And it certainly not provided the rewards that people thought. Instead, what they were doing was they were giving billions of dollars to the Chinese Communist Party that were shuffled and reused. In some cases, when we buy Chinese companies, they turn around and produce missiles pointed back at us. Well, the National Security Investment Consultant Institute is aware that the American people don't know that's what's taking place. They don't have time to study it in detail. Financial advisors have a responsibility, a fiduciary responsibility of caring for their client monies and making sure that their client investments align with their values, their intentions, and so forth. But nobody on Wall Street was talking about this. So we started an institute to train people. Now the institute is operating with probably the largest or second largest online university in the world, which is Liberty University. It's a Christian school out of Virginia. And we are training in a certificate course to where a financial advisor, a stockbroker, a financial planner, investment advisor, insurance agent can go on, take our course online, and in 8 weeks get a full education of this and be better prepared to serve their clients. And I can tell you, clients are demanding this. We're getting comments and calls every week saying, I have $5 million. I need an advisor who understands what you're talking about. So now the advisors need to sign up at nsic.org and get on board so they can benefit from this huge wave of clients saying, I'm fed up. I had enough. I don't want any Chinese investments, nor do I want investments in globalists who want to destroy my values. I want investments that reflect my values. And that's what we train and teach at Liberty University.
Yeah. In contrast to the values of Larry Fink, for example, which are so-called ESG, environment, social, and governance, you've got your own formulation for this, which is, I know, part of your curriculum, and I'm very excited about it. Kevin Freeman will be right back with more right after this. Kevin Freeman is in the house for this last segment, and I'm very pleased he is. Kevin, we were just talking about the training that you're offering focused on what you call liberty security values. These are much to be preferred, it seems to me, and I guess a lot of investors as well, over the so-called environment, social, and governance radical leftist agenda of people like Larry Fink, who are imposing it upon all of us. But I wanted to switch gears with you slightly, Kevin, if I could, because one of the things that has been so insidious about all of these financial shenanigans with our money by Wall Street, masters of the universe, in partnership with our mortal enemies, the Chinese Communist Party, is that there has been essentially no requirement on the part of those Chinese companies until now to conform to our laws regarding transparency and accountability and governance, for that matter. And this has been made possible, as I understand it, by a memorandum of understanding that the current president of the United States had a hand in back when he was vice president. Walk us through all of that, if you would, and what is going on at the moment to at least make it look as though the Chinese are going to be held more accountable.
Well, right before they brought to the IPO market, initial public offering market, the largest IPO to date to that point in history of Alibaba, right before there, the Chinese regulators and the American regulators realized that they had a problem. If you list your stock on the New York Stock Exchange or in American on any of our stock exchanges, you're required to conform to our accounting standards, which means that accounting firms can go over and audit, look at your books, make sure that you're doing what you say you're going to do. Well, there was a memo of understanding.
According to exacting American standards, which is the point. It's not just that the accounting companies go over and look at your books. They've got to be meeting what is called the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board standards, PCAOB. Is that right?
That is correct. And so they've got to look at them in those terms to meet American accounting standards. The Chinese understood there's no way that they would meet American accounting standards. And even if they did, they made the claim that they would be divulging state secrets. So there was this memo of understanding that now President Biden, at the time Vice President Biden, had a hand in. What I would like someone, some internet detective, to go and match up the laptop that Hunter Biden had and the dates of various payments from China into the United States, and just look and see if those coincide in any way whatsoever, because it seems to me that Biden was not acting in American interests, and I want to know why. He wasn't, because if you put your stock on our stock exchanges, you better conform to our accounting laws, or you have a fundamental advantage over American companies that are trying to compete. He just essentially preferred Chinese companies over American companies, or really companies anywhere else in the world.
Yeah, and left American investors in the lurch, because those standards, those requirements, those statutes were designed to protect them against the Enrons and well, the Alibabas for that matter. But Kevin, to your point about, is there some correlation between the Memorandum of Understanding of May 2019 and payments received by the Biden family?
It wasn't 2019, was it 2014?
I beg your pardon, 2013.
13,
I meant to say 2013, yes. Thank you for the correction. In December of 2013, Hunter Biden received $1.5 billion as an investment fund for his labors. And presumably, as has been observed by one wit, it was not a bribe, it was a commission on the trillions of dollars that the Chinese have made off of this racket. Kevin, I just wanted to say, as you look at this problem, there is now an effort underway, I think as a result of some legislative initiatives aimed at trying to get companies that from China that should not be in our capital markets out of them, to insist that they conform to those PCAOB standards, as they're called. And yet there seem to be some games being played between the U.S. government and the Chinese government again. Do you have the latest on what's going on there? I'm told that one of the things that they're looking at is having the accounting firms go to Hong Kong to look at the work product and work papers of these Chinese companies. Is that likely to result in the desired transparency, the required transparency, do you think?
Well, I personally don't think so. I mean, there's a game that you can play when auditors or regulators come in, you put them in a small room, you don't feed them properly, you really control the circumstances in which they're able to look at things. And the Chinese are masters at this, and they would do it in Hong Kong, which they completely control at this point, or they would do it anywhere on Chinese-controlled soil. So I find it hard to imagine that we would get a fair reading of the accounting. You know, I've been on tours. I went to Moscow and I was treated in Moscow. You get treated well and poorly, depending on how you react and so forth. So I find that really hard to accept that that would give us true transparency into what the Chinese companies are doing. And they're doing it on purpose. They're doing it because there is either something to hide or there's something to gain. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been pointed out by our friend Bill Walton, who formerly was an accountant, as well as a master of the universe on Wall Street at Allied Capital, that if you have access, no kidding, to those work papers and fully transparent, you can learn a lot about companies. And some of those are probably state secrets in terms of what the Chinese are doing with some of them and the malevolence that they represent. It's bad enough that we know we've got companies that work for the Chinese People's Liberation Army in our capital markets. There's probably a lot more that are doing very dangerous things as well that we don't know about. Kevin, we are out of time. This hour has flown by, as it always does in my conversations with you. I'm so appreciative of your taking the time to introduce us properly to your new and very important book, According to Plan. I hope everyone in this audience will take a look at it and pass it on to others to do the same. Thank you for the work you do at Economic War Room with Kevin Freeman and in so many other areas, including with our Center for Security Policy. Keep it up and come back to us soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same and that you've been better equipped to help us in protecting the country we love as a result of this program, and that you will now go forth and multiply.